We begin the current daf Maseches Evin daf Samach Aleph. We begin four lines up from the top of the Yamid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had a halacha that was said in the by Rabbi Shuv ben Levi on the previous daf, and that is, he said that when a person makes an Erev, so then he gets to measure 2,000 amas from where he is in a certain direction. So we say, let's say that 2,000 amas traverses an area of a different city. So he said, depending on where the 2,000 amas ends in relation to the city, will depend if that city is included in the tchum, or we consider it as dalad amas. And he said, it depends. If the 2,000 amas ends in the middle of the city, somewhere in the area, then we count that city as part of the tchum, and it's included, and therefore it will stop wherever it ends, wherever it expires in the middle of the city. However, if the 2,000 amas passes beyond that area of that city, then we consider the whole entire city as one big area of dalad amas, and therefore that will not detract from the area of 2,000 amas. You could continue counting as if you didn't pass that, as if that's not included at all of the area of that city. And to which Reb Idi, who was the one quoting this halacha in the name of his Rebbe, Shimon Levi, says, "Divrei Neviyah say, these are words of prophecy. What's the difference? What does it make a difference where it stops in the middle or if it continues past it, that it should be counted towards the tchum or not?" To which Rava responds, "What do you mean? Why is it words of prophecy? It's the coming Mishnah on the daf and on this current daf later on, where it says that when there's a large city, Ir Gedolah, and the Ir Katana, the small city, so we say the people in this large city can go throughout the entire small city, but the people from the small city cannot go throughout the entire large city." To which Rava explained, what would that be the difference? If they're both within each other's tchum, why could the big one go through the little one and the little one not go through the big one? Which, as Rashi had explained, obviously doesn't mean they could go through the little one. Obviously, everyone could go there 2,000 amas. It means that it will not even detract from the 2,000 amas. We'll consider the whole small city like dalad amas. Obviously, the reason is because the large city passes beyond the small city. It's not there. It's not so big. So therefore, let's say it's 1,000 amas from where the big city is, and it's, let's say it takes a 50, 100, whatever it is, but it's going to be beyond that, then we don't count that. Therefore, you could go past that. Whereas when we say the small city will not be able to go past the large one, because even if it's, let's say, within 1,000 amas, as we said, from each city, but the large city is 3,000 amas long, whatever it is, and therefore it's going to expire, it's going to end in the middle, and then we say it's, that will be counted as part of the tchum. So you see that Rabbi Shuv ben Levi's halacha is a mafurish mishnah. Both ideas that depending where it ends, if it's going to be counted or not. So what do you mean it's words of prophecy? That's where our current daf begins. Rav Idi, that he said that they are words of prophecy, and therefore the question is, what does he do with Rav's proof from the coming Mishnah on today's daf that seems to clearly indicate that there's a difference between the large city and the small city? Must be because, as Rav had explained, which is based on Rabbi Shuv ben Levi's principles, and that the Gemara says, Anchi Tani. He has a totally different gears in our Mishnah than Rav had. He has that both the large city and the small city could go. In other words, he doesn't have the gears that Rava had quoted that ain in anche ir katan mahalchin is kol ir gedul. He doesn't have the words that the small city is cannot go. Rather, he has the words anche as if both of them say that the people of the big and the people of the small are mahalchin is kol ir gedul. And therefore, umukim loy benaisen. He establishes that the case of the Mishnah is talking about when you place your Erev in the city. As the Mishnah itself actually explains, the Mishnah says, as we're going to see in the bottom of this Amid, Keitzad. How do we understand this idea of which, according to his Girsa, is saying that both the big city and the small city can go throughout the entire other city and consider it like Dalet Amas? That, as the Mishnah says, that someone that was in a big city, but he puts his Erev in the small city that's near it within 2,000 Amas, then he could walk throughout the entire city because the Erev is acquiring for him the entire city like Dalet Amas, as if that's his Shvisa, because that's actually what the concept of an Erev does. It makes that that's your residence over there, and therefore the same thing would apply if you're in the small city and you put your Erev in the big city, that you could walk throughout the entire big city and it's only counted like Dalet Amas, because it's if you were dwelling in that city. However, Rava's gear says, we quote on the previous stop, but it's on the top of this Amud, the first word, that Rava says that Ein Anche, his gear says that the people from the small city cannot go throughout the entire big city, as the Gemara will say later on, that whoever's gear is Loya Ein Anche, no, that each one is not a mistake, they have a different way of understanding the Mishnah. So therefore, Rav Idi doesn't have a difficulty because he doesn't have this raya that Rav has, because he has a different gerusa that says that the small city could go throughout the big city. And that's because he's not saying when you're starting from an area and you're measuring and you're getting into the big city. It means when you actually place your Erev there. But as the Gemara says, Avol Moided, but regarding measuring, if you're coming from outside the city and you're coming into the city because you're following the trajectory of your 2,000 amas, loitznan, that he never learned anything in our Mishnah, a difference between if it ends in the middle or if it ends at the end. And again, therefore, the raya that Rava had is not here according to the Girsa of Rav Idi, and therefore it's not difficult that he said that the Divrei Neviyah said the words of prophecy, because he has no proof like Rava has. But then the Gemara asks, "Valoi, is it really true that our coming Mishnah on this Amud doesn't speak about someone that's measuring from outside, and that there'll be a difference if it ends in the middle of the city, that we do count that as part of the Tchum, which would be a right to one of the two halachas of Reb Shimon Levi?" Again, one halacha was that if it ends in the middle, you do count it. And one is that if it ends beyond it, then you don't count it. But now we learned in the Mishnah, it says, "Ulamaydid," and that is if someone that's measuring from the place where he established his shvisa, or from the place where his eiv was, sha'amah, that we said that we give him 2,000 amas. So he said, "Nosim lo yapayim amah." We always give him only 2,000 amas. Shafila seif midasik kolabimar, that even if the end of his measurement ends in middle of a cave, that's all he's allowed to go, and he can't go in past that 2,000 amas, even though he's right smack in the middle of a domain of a cave. It doesn't make a difference. That's where it ends. So obviously, the Gemara is asking that you see that when the measurement ends in the middle of the city, that we did learn that that will be considered and counted as part of your measurement to be 2,000 amas. And that is, what is the words of prophecy that he said on both halachas of Shuman Levi? We have a clear proof, it seems, at least regarding the halacha, that when it ends in the middle of an area, which a cave is no worse than the city in that regard, that it's one domain, and yet you can't go past your 2,000 amas, even though you're smack in the middle of a cave. So that we do find that it is going to be counted as part of your tchum, and not as if we view the whole area as dalet amas. The Rosh Hashanah says, you're right. However, Seifir is Tuchalei. However, the other halacha, that the end of the city, is what Rabbi Shimon Levi was the chiddush that he was teaching us, where he holds that when if the measurement ends beyond the end of the city, that then we view the entire city as dalet amas, and that the Leitnan, that we don't have a source in our Mishnah to prove to Rabbi Shimon Levi, and therefore that was what he was asking, that their dibri nevias are the words of prophecy. You're right, regarding the other halacha, that when it ends in the middle, that we do count it, that we know from the Mishnah, we don't need Rabbi Shimon Levi to teach us that. What he was teaching us was that if it goes beyond, then we don't count it. Why not? Why would it be different when it ends in the middle? That you do count every yama in the city as part of the tchum, and that was Rav Idi's problem on Rav Shimon Levi. So now the Gemara sums up. We had this machlokes between Rav Idi and Rava regarding the halacha of Rav Shimon Levi, if it's going to be a raya from our Mishnah on this coming daf or not. And that was based on what the girsa was it that there's anshe or ain anshe? As the Gemara says, I'm Rav Nachman. Mandatani anshe, according to the one that learns that he doesn't have the word ve'ein. That in other words, it means that anshe, that the people of the small city are mahalchin es kol hir gadol, that they could go out through the entire city. Le mishtabish, it's not a mistaken girsa, it's not a mistaken version of our Mishnah. Umandatani ein anshe le mishtabish, and according to one, which is a reference to Rava, that his girsa is that ain anshe, that they cannot be mahalchas kol hir gadol, they can't go throughout the entire big city. That's also not a mistaken version of our Mishnah, as the Gemara explains. Mandatani anshe le mishtabish, according to the one that says that the people from the small city, that they are mahalch and they could go out through the entire big city. Demoikim le benaisin, as we had established in the previous Gemara, that it's talking about when you place your air there in the big city, and that's actually what the Mishnah continues to sound like that version of what Rav Idi says, because it says, Ketzad, what is this talking about? And how does the Mishnah explain, as we're going to see on the bottom of the Amud, when you place your air there? So it seems to be clearly like that Girsa of Anshe. However, Mandatani ain Anshe le Mishtabesh, but even according to the other Girsa, that it's saying that ain Anshe, that the people from the small city, from the Irkatana, cannot go, they're also not mistaken. Because they establish that the Mishnah is talking about not when you place your Erev in the other city, but rather where you're coming from, where you are, wherever your Shvisa is, by your Erev or your city, and you're measuring and you're coming and you're going to that other city. And that is by the people of the big city, that they're going out from their city to the small city, which that small city is totally subsumed in within the area of their 2,000 amas. For example, if let's say the two cities are far from each other, 1,000 amas, and it itself is 1,000 amas, so therefore the 2,000 amas will end at the end of when that small city has already ended. So therefore, then you could go the entire city as if it's dalet amas, and then you could complete the other extra 996 amas beyond that. However, regarding this small city, they cannot go out through entire big city, and that's the gerusa of what Rava has, that ain't anche. Because, as we said, the two cities are 1,000 amas apart from each other, and the big city itself is 2,000 amas. Now, since the entire big city is not within the area of the 2,000 amas, rather it ends in the middle of the big city, so then that will be included and counted towards the measurement of the tchum. And therefore, all you can go in from the small city going into the big city is within the area of 1,000 amas. However, this that the Mishnah continues to explain, say, Ketzad, which is, that seems to be saying a different halacha, that's talking about not when you're measuring from where you are, but rather that's talking about a different halacha when you actually place your Eiv in that city. As the Gemara explains, Bechasur Mechster, according to that version of Ein Anche, there are words missing from the Mishnah, B'Hochiktan, and this is the way you have to learn the Mishnah. Anche Ir Gedoyla, Mahalchan is called Ir Katan. The people from the big city could go out throughout the entire small city. The Ein Anche Ir Katana, and again, this is going according to that version, that, however, this people of the small city, they cannot be Mahalchan is called Ir Gedoyla. They cannot go throughout the entire big city. However, Bamedvamon, when did we say this, that there's this discrepancy, a difference between the big city and the small city when they're going in the other's direction? That's Bamedid, as we just explained, that's regarding when you're measuring, in other words, your Shvisa is in your city, and you're measuring 2,000 Amas. So then it depends, as we explained, if it ends within or beyond that city. And this is what the Ketzad of the Mishnah is coming to tell us, which is a different halach. However, someone that's in the big city, and then he puts his Erev in the small city, or if he was in the small city, and then he put his Erev in the big city, then the halacha is as follows. Mahalach as kula b'chutzula paimama. There is where we agree that then you would be able to consider the whole city, whichever one it is. Let's say the city, the small one to the big one, or the big one to the small one, that whole other city is considered like Dalet Amos, and therefore beyond that, you can go ahead and go and count 2,000 Amos, because as we said, here you're putting your Erev over there. Oh, so that's your Shvisa. So then you're like a person from that city. Whenever you're part of a city, the whole city is like Dalet Amos. And therefore, we resolve the Mishnah according to both Girsayas, because according to this one also, that the, of course the Ir Katana would be like the Ir Gedoyla, because that case is Toma when you put your Erev there. So you put your Erev there, then you're part of them. But the first part of the Mishnah says, Ein Anche, that the small city cannot go beyond, they can only go as much as they can. That's Toma when you're measuring from beyond, that your Erev or your city is somewhere else, and you're coming and you're walking in. And then it stops wherever it stops. And as we said, that was Rav's version, which was going like a Beshub and Levi. That is a difference if it ends within or beyond that tchum. Another Gemara brings a different topic, but it's similar in the regards that it'll make a difference until how far you can go based on if you do something. So Amrav Yosef, Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rav Huna. Ir sheyeshevis al svas hanachal. Regarding a city that's by its boundary, its border is by a river that's very deep. So im yesh lefaneha daka arba. So if there is by the river, which is by the border of the city, if there is this daka, which is a type of a mechitza, a boundary, which is 4 amas high, that goes beyond the whole area, on the whole wall of the city, by the where it borders over there by the river, then maidnim la misvasa nachal. Then you can measure from the edge of the river. In other words, if that's where the city ends, then you could count it like a regular city that you don't measure from where your home is. You measure from the edge of the city, which in this case, the edge of the city is by the river. However, if you did not put up this wall, you have the homes there, but the homes are open to the river. Now, since people are afraid, because of there's always the scared part of a person might fall into the river, or there's that element of not being protected, so that would be lacking in the establishment of that city. Therefore, as Rashi tells us, this would be like the halacha of Yeshvi Tzrifin, people that live in huts, where they don't have the status as a city, and therefore, Ein Moed Nila El Mepesach Beisai, then everybody would be measuring only from the opening of his tent. His bias is still a bias, it's considered like Dalet Amos, but he starts measuring the second he walks out of his home. So although there's a whole city over here, since by where the city limits are, there's this nachal, there's this river, which is unprotected. There's no daka, there's no wall of 4 amas high separating. People are afraid, therefore we're not really an established place. Therefore, it's not considered a ear, and you would measure when you come out of your home. So only Abayas said to Rabbi Yosef, daka arba amas amrit lan Allah. When you explained this halacha regarding this city, that it was bordering a nachal, and that you had to put up a daka, you told us that the daka has to be 4 amas high. Now, based on that, I have a question for you. What's the difference that in all other places when you told us this halacha related to a daka, which is basically a partition that's separating one area from another area, you always told us it's enough to have a height of 4 tefachim, as the Gemara, as we had a previous Gemara that spoke about this marpeset, we had a first floor that opens up into the chatzar, and then we had a second floor that they have this marpeset, this type of a porch, that there's a ladder coming down over there, and we said that although everybody really has to join the Erev, but if you put a daka by the steps going up, so we view that as a mechitza separation, and therefore the people on the second floor are saying, we don't have nothing to do with you over Shabbos, and although they're not being meshatif inside that Erev chatzar, it's not going to be a problem, because we're not considering them as dwellers, because the daka is a separation. And over there you say it's enough with a height of 4 tefachim. Why over here by the city do you say it has to have a height of 4 amas? So Malay, so Rav Yisrael said to him, good question, but there's a fundamental difference between the two cases. Hasam loy be'isatash mishnah. There, by all those other cases, when I said it's enough to have a separation of four tvachim, it's enough when it's four tvachim because there's no actual fear. So to make a separation, like a symbolic type of a separation, yeah, that's enough with four tvachim. But hacha be'isatash mishnah. But here, by the case of the city, which is flush with a nachal, with a river, people are afraid. And therefore, unless it's four amas high, around 8 feet, then people are still going to be afraid. So having it four tefachim, which is pretty low down, that's although that's symbolically showing that we're separate, but that doesn't do the job of people being feeling safe and secure, and therefore then it's not going to be an established city. That's why over here, I said that it has to be four amas high, not four tefachim high. But now Amar Yisrael Yisrael comes to explain the fundamental principle of his halacha, and he says, from where do I get this, that it will make a difference where you're measuring from, regards to the city or from your home, if there's a dakar or not? So he said, the Tanakh, learn the Braisa. Hita Rebbe Shayu b'nei Geder Yodin L'chamsin. Rebbe permitted, he instituted, that the people from Geder could go down where they were living towards Chamsin on Shabbos, but ve'ein b'nei Chamsin oyin l'Geder, but the people from Chamsin cannot go up towards the city of Geder. Now, my time, what's the reason? So the Gemara will ultimately give four pshatim. However, the first pshat that Rabbi Yosef brings, he wants to use it as a raya to his halacha. So what would be the difference? Manushach, if they're within the tchum, so both could go to each other. If they're not, so then either one cannot go. So he says, lav mishum dehani ovidaka. I'll tell you the reason why. Isn't it because the people of Geder, who are higher up in the mountain, they made a daka? In other words, they made something like a wall that protects, that stops the flow of what's falling down. They made this daka. But Vahani lo avadaka, but the people from Chamsin did not make a daka. And that is, Geder and Chamsin were on a mountain, on a slope. Now, as some Rashis have the picture, that Geder was higher up, and Chamsin was lower down. Now, since both of them were on the slant, they essentially both needed, for the protection and the safety of the inhabitants, they had to make a daka by the bottom so that because everything would just fall down. You have a child walking, they could fall down, chas v'shalom. You have to put something protecting over there. Now, the Gemara assumes now that both of them were within 2,000 amas of the other city. And however, it says only that the people of Geder could go down to Chamsin, but not from Chamsin up to Geder. What's the reason? So he says, I'll tell you the reason is, because the people of Geder, they made this daka, this wall, this separation, this safety net. And therefore, everyone that lives in that city of Geder, when they want to go down the hill to Chamsin, where do you think they start counting from? They start counting from the wall of the city, from the daka, which is like every regular city that you don't count from when you come out of your home, you count from the city limits. And therefore, since Chamsin was in the tchum of Geder, so therefore everybody can go from Geder to Chamsin. But the people of Chamsin, they did not make a daka by the bottom of their town, and therefore they did not have the status as a city. Therefore, when everybody who's going from Chamsin up to Geder, where do you think they start counting from? They start counting not from the city limits, but from the opening of their home. And therefore, those that are on the top of the mountain that were closer, they were within 2,000 amas of Geder, and therefore, by them, their whole thing was included in the tchum. They can go throughout the entire city. But the problem is, those on the bottom of Chamsin, which they were not within 2,000 amas, they can't go up. Because you don't measure from the city limits. You measure from your home. And that's why he said that people from Geder could go to Chamsin, but people from Chamsin cannot go to Geder because they don't measure from the city limits. They measure from their home. That was Rav Yisus Raya, that you see there's this difference with regards to Daka, because what else would be the explanation why from Geder they go to Chamsin, and Chamsin they cannot go together? Obviously, because if you make a Geder, then you measure from the city limits. If not, you measure from your opening. However, Kiyasra of Dimi, Amar, he says, no, it's not approved. He gives a second shot in the understanding of this halacha of Rebbe, that Geder could go to Chamsin, but Chamsin cannot go to Geder. He says, very simply, Tatruge mitartiki luhu b'nei Geder l'b'nei Chamsin. He says, it's a little bit political. The people of Geder would beat up and kill the people from Chamsin. Umay hita, what does it mean that Rebbe permitted the people of Geder to go to Chamsin, but not from Chamsin to Geder? He means hiskin, he had instituted. In other words, he only allowed the people of Geder to go to Chamsin and not Chamsin to Geder. Now, umay shnor Shabbos, so why is Shabbos different? In other words, he didn't say all week long. He said just on Shabbos, the people of Chamsin cannot go to Geder. But if Geder is beating up Chamsin, well, you should never allow it, even during the week. And that the reason is no, dafka on Shabbos, the shchicha be'shichas. Because on Shabbos, it's the day off and everyone gets drunk, and therefore they would beat them up more of a concern on Shabbos than the rest of the week. That's why he didn't let them go from Chamsin to Geder on Shabbos, but not during the rest of the week. But it has nothing to do with the halacha of Tchumen. It's just based on a purely sociological reason of that they might come to beat them up. However, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, so ki azli, so then when the people of Geder when they go lahasim to chamsin, because he allowed Geder to go to chamsin, just not chamsin to go together, because a chamsinite comes into Geder, he's going to get beaten up. But if he allows the people from Geder to go to chamsin, nami mitadriguluhu. So then the people of Geder are still going to beat up the people of chamsin when they come down to chamsin. That the Gemara answers that kalbaloi masay, a dog out of its home, out of its city, shev shnin loy navach, it doesn't bark for 7 years, which is basically a metaphor to say that even though they're tough guys, when they leave their home turf, then they're not so, they lose their bark, and therefore we're not concerned when they come down to Chamsin that they're going to beat up the Chamsinites. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, hashtanami, so now also, it should be the reverse of a concern. Metadrigi b'nei Chamsin, they gather, finally, oh, they got the Gederites are coming down to Chamsin, we're going to beat them up, because we see that they're afraid, they're not so strong anymore, now that they're not in the home turf, so why do we let the people of Geder come to Chamsin? And then the Gemara says, kuli haile kaivalu, take it easy, they're not going to be so subordinate, they're not going to be so afraid the people of Geder, even though they're not in their hometown, they're not going to be so meek that the people of Chamsin are going to beat them up. So therefore, it will neutralize them. They're not going to beat up Chamsin, but Chamsin's also not going to beat up Geder. That was the second explanation in the Salacha to show that it's not a right to Rav Yosef. Rav Safra says a different shot also to understand this Salacha, that Geder could go to Chamsin, the Chamsin cannot go to Geder, that it's not a right to Rav Yosef. He says, Ir ha'asuyi kekeshes havoye. It's a city that was made like a bow. And the way Rashi's interpretation of this is that Chamsin, which was lower down, it was made like a bow. And between the two edges of Chamsin, as a bow is like a some type of a semicircle, between each ends, it was more than 4,000 amas. And as we had said in the beginning of the parak, that when, if it's more than 4,000 amas from the edges, then you measure from the bow, you don't measure from the yeser, which would be the bowstring, and that would be some type of, as if it was really, that the city was filled up till the line. If it's more than 4,000 amas, we don't see them connected, you measure from the bottom of the bow. In other words, everyone that comes out of his home, by the Pesach Beis, on the bottom of the Keshes, you start measuring from there also. And just in understanding the geographical location of this case, that where was Geder? Geder was where the area of the Yeser, of the bowstring is, that's where Geder was. Now, so therefore, the people from Geder could go down to Chamsin. And the reason is because where does Geder start measuring from? They start measuring from the end of their city, from their city walls. And the entire Chamsin was Muvla, was included, it was within the area of the 2,000 Amas of the Tchum of Geder. However, the people of Chamsin, that they're sitting in the Keshes, they're there on the bottom, where do they measure from? They measure from the Keshes, from the bottom of the bow. Their Tchum ends by the beginning of Geder, and therefore they can't go into the entire Geder. Because their city, again, Chamsin is very narrow, because that's the bottom of the bowl, though it's a big city, but we measure for them only from where they leave their home, because since it's more than 4,000 amas from each edge, that we don't consider it as if it's closed, so therefore they have to start from their home. When they get 2,000 amas, it ends right there by the Yeser, where that is where Geder begins. So therefore they can maybe go in an amma, but they can't go into the whole Geder. Whereas Geder can go past Chamsin, because Chamsin is going to be within 2,000 amas. Again, because the measurement of Geder being a regular city, therefore we allow Chamsin to go in however big the area is going to take him of 2,000 amas. But that's going to end basically in the beginning of Geder. But Chamsin, which is only a few houses in a sense, is because it's the bottom of the Keshes, therefore because of the structure of this fact that it was the Keshes, with the Chamsin being this bottom of the bow, therefore the people again of Geder could go throughout Chamsin because they're only like one narrow strip. So all you have to do is get past those four Amas, and therefore you'll be going past Chamsin. But Chamsin cannot go through Geder. Again, it's not really a chiddush in halacha. It's just that Rebbe was teaching him that since this is the structure of the cities, so the people of Chamsin cannot go throughout Geder. And they could only go into the however much it is, the 2,000 is going to take them too. But Geder could go beyond Chamsin again because Chamsin is only a very narrow strip and the 2,000 numbers will take you past over there. That's the third pshat. The fourth pshat in the Gemara is Rav Dimon bar Chinna Omar says, again, also not really a chiddush in halacha, it's just saying the type of case that it was. Anshe ir gedoyla v'anshe ir katana havir. What it was is that one of them was a big city and one of them was a small city. And that is, Geder was a large city. And therefore, when the people of Chamsin come up to Geder, their measurement ends in the middle of the city, as we had explained on the beginning of this Amid. But Chamsin was a small city, and therefore, when the people of Geder come down, their measurement ends beyond the city of Chamsin. And what Rebbe was saying was that the people of Geder, they can go down to Chamsin. That, what does that mean? It means that we'll view the entire city of Chamsin as four Amis in regards to the people of Geder. And therefore, you complete your 2,000 Amis beyond the city. But geder, for the people of Chamsin that they're going up, they can only go up however far the Tchum takes them because it ends in the middle of the city. As we said, that difference between if it ends in the middle or at the end, that would be the difference between Chamsin and geder. And really, according to Rashi, the two pshatim of Keshes and the Ir Gedel and Ir Ketana are really very similar in the regards that there's no chiddush in halacha here. We're just saying that regards to geder, it will go beyond Chamsin. Whereas, and that's because of by Keshes, it will go beyond because all it takes up a small strip. So let's say they're within, let's say 1900 amos of each other, of when it's like a bow. So therefore, yeah, Keshes could go in together, but it's only going to take you 100 amos past because they're within 1900 amos. Another 100 amos will take you 100 amos in together, but geder is huge. So that's what it means to say that you can't go in together, because you're really just scratching the surface. That geder could go into Chamsin is because since they're within 1900 amos, and the city of Chamsin, at least in the bottom, is what is it, 50 amos, 75 amos. So therefore, although they're within 1900 amos, you could go beyond Chamsin because it only takes them 75 amos. So 1975, which is still within the 2000 amos, you'll be able to go past Chamsin, which is similar to the last shot in the Gemara of Ir Gedel and Ir Ketana. The same concept, since geder was big and Chamsin was small, Chamsin is going to end in the middle. That's what it means to say. It can't go throughout geder. It won't be able to consider it like Dalet Amos, but geder will be able to go through Chamsin because it will be considered like Dalet Amos because its 2000 Amos ends beyond that area. So the Gemara says that regards to these last two terutzim in the Gemara, the Rav Kahana Masni Hach, Rav Kahana, the way he had said these terutzim, he said it explicitly that this one said this teretz and this one said this teretz. However, Rav Tavyumi Masni Hachi, he learned it that no, he didn't attribute which one is to which. And according to Rashi, it really makes sense because they're both very similar in the regards of the same idea if it ends in the middle at the end. That is, and he said it, Saf Rav Dimi Barchin, Chara Me'ir Asuika Keshes Have. One said that it was a city made like a bow. The Charama Anshe Yerketanim Anshe Yergedayla Have. Another one says that it was like a big and small city, but he didn't attribute which one said which halacha. But those are the four interpretations of regarding this city of Geder and this and Chamsin. And therefore, it's not a right Rav Yosef who is the first of the four pshatim, because we have three other explanations to give for it. It's not necessarily based on his principle that Geder had a disdaka and Chamsin didn't have it, and that's why it would make a difference if you would measure from the city limits or if you'd measure from the opening of the home. So now the Gemara continues on this theme, and this was the Mishnah that we were speaking about on this whole daf, and we had mentioned in the previous daf. The Mishnah begins, Anshe Ir Gedoylo Mahalchen is called Ir Ketana. The big city can walk throughout the entire small city. In other words, that we will consider the entire small city like Dalet Amos, and it will not take up in the measurement of the tchum of the big city. And similarly, the people of the small city, again, this is going like the Girsum of Rav Idi, not like the Girsum of Rava, that the people of the small city, they could go out throughout the entire big city. Ketzad, and that the Mishnah comes to explain when is that, that will view the big city and the small city the same, that when they're going in that either direction, will consider that whole entire city not to take up from the Tchum, rather like Dalet Amos. That is Misha Hayabir Gedayla, some that was in the big city, Venos Nesiru Bir Ketana, and he put his Erev in the small city, or in the reverse. He was in the Bir Ketana, he was in the small city. Venos Nesiru Bir Gedayla, and he put his Erev in the big city. So the Mahalachas Kulu V'chutz La'Payimama, then you can go throughout the entire city, not taking up of your Tchum anything, just Dalet Amos. And then you can go beyond that, your 2000 Amos, as we explained, because when you put your Erev in the city, that's as if that's where your actual residential area is for Shabbos. And since if a person is a resident of a city, that we don't count that as part of his Tchum, it only starts beyond the city limits. The same thing would apply if you put your Erev over there. Rabbi Kiva argues. He says, no. Ein loy ela mimokim eruvay alpayim am. Although when you're a resident of a city, you only begin counting at the end of the city. Putting an Erev, although for halachas of Tchumen, it makes that's where your Shvisa is, but it doesn't make you a resident of the city. And therefore, you would only be able to start counting from the makam of the Erev itself, and not that the whole city is like Dalet Amos. And Omer Rebbe Kiva said, he began the argument with the Chacham to prove his point. Don't you agree to me? But if someone puts his Erev in a cave, where does he begin to start counting his 2,000 amas? Not at the end of the cave. He begins counting exactly in the middle of the cave where his Erev is, and then he starts counting 2,000 amas. So therefore, the same thing should apply to a city. Amrle, they said to him, Amosai, you're right. However, when did we say this? That if you put your Erev in a cave, then you will not count from the extremities of the cave, but rather from exactly where you put your Erev. That's Bizman She'im Badiyurin. That's when there's no dwellers in the cave. Avayesh Badiyurin, but if there are dwellers, which is similar to the case we're discussing of a city, then Mahalachas Kula V'chutz La'Payim Amah, then you would go throughout the entire city, not counting it from your Tchum, it would be considered like one big Dalet Amos. And then beyond that is where you start counting your 2,000 Amos, and therefore there's no Raya from the case of the cave that you're trying to bring to us regarding the case of the city, which has dwellers. And therefore, they say, Nimtza Kal Toicha, comes out that there's a leniency. If someone goes ahead and makes his Eiv within the Ma'ara, within the cave, which has dwellers, Mi'al Gaba, in contrast to if he puts his Eiv on top of the cave, which doesn't have dwellers. Because if he puts it on the top, then yes, then we agree to you that although there's dwellers inside the cave, then you will only have 2,000 amas from your Eiv is, again, because on top of the cave, there's no dwellers. Inside the cave, at least in the case where there were dwellers, that would be the difference. On top of the cave, you start exactly where your Eiv is. Inside the cave, when there's dwellers, then you'll count from the end of the Ma'ara. And your whole case that you were asking in us, that you see inside a cave even, that you only start counting 2,000 amas, you start where it is, not at the end, that's when there are no dwellers. But if there are dwellers, like the case of the city, you only start from the extremities, from the end. However, the Mishnah does conclude and says, well, the Ma'idit Sha'amr, but regards to the case of when you're measuring, and that is, although the Chacham Arga and Rabbi Kiva, when you put your Eiv inside the city, to say that now we view the whole entire city as Dalet Amas, they agree when you're coming from a different city, or from where you had your Shvisa, and now you're coming into a city on Shabbos, that your Tchum of 2,000 Amas, when you're walking 2,000 regular size steps, which is each step is considered like an Amma, when that ends within that area of a cave or a city, then Noisn Alpayim Amas, then we agree that you give 2,000 Amas, that even if the end of your 2,000 amas ends inside the cave, even a cave that has dwellers, then you cannot go, then we agree to you cannot go beyond the 2,000 amas. And that is, there is a difference. When you're entering to it on Shabbos and that's where your 2,000 amas ends, then yes, that's where it ends and you can't, we don't consider, oh, once you got into the city limits, now we view it all as 2,000 amas. That is, as we had mentioned before, when there's a difference when it ends in the middle. However, regards to the case of that you're trying to say, when you put the Eiv inside, there we argue on you. There, if you started off over there, then we do view the whole thing as Dalet Amas, and your Tchum only begins at the end of that cave or the end of that city. Now we begin the Gemara on Amud Beis. Well, Amar Yehuda Mishmul. He says a halacha, which will show, it will be the relevance regarding the opinions of that are mentioned in the Mishnah. So he says, Shavas Be'ir Chareva. If someone spends his Shabbos, he creates his halachic residence of Shabbos, that's where he is, Ben Hashmash, in a destroyed city. But when it means destroyed, it doesn't mean it's the walls have crumbled. Rather, it means that there is no inhabitants there. But the walls are still extant, it's still there surrounding the city. So then, L'Rabbanan, according to the opinion that was mentioned, the Rabban in the Mishnah, Mahalach is kula b'chutz l'apayim amah. You can walk throughout the entire city, and that is, we view the entire city, although there's no one living there anymore, it's a ghost town, so to speak. You can walk and consider Dalet Amas, and you only begin your tchum of 2,000 Amas where the city limits end. That's where, and the reason is, because since you started off your Shabbos in the airspace of these mechitzas, therefore, although there's no one living here, we consider it as a Dalet Amas, and the tchum will only begin beyond it. And Rashi tells us that, although in truth this halacha would apply even to Rabbi Kiva, because this Rabbi Kiva agrees to when you're spending Shabbos in the place, that it is like Dalet Amas, only when you put your Eiv that he argues. But the reason why Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul said in the name of the Rabbanan this halacha is because of the later halacha that he wants to talk about when you didn't spend Shabbos there, but rather that's where you put your Eiv, where he wants to differentiate between if it's Ir Harevo or Ir Yeshiva, if it's a city that has inhabitants or if it has no inhabitants, because according to Rabbi Kiva, even if it has inhabitants, you still would not measure from the end of the city. You would only measure from where you put your Eiv, 2,000 Amas. That's why he picked it according to Rabban. But in truth, this first halacha would apply to everybody. However, Yehuda Mishmul continues, he says, Hiniach esayru lebir chareva. I just told you regarding if you spent Shabbos there. But let's say you only put your Eiv in a city that has no inhabitants. Then, ein lay mamokam eruva el paim amah. Then the Rabban would agree that then you only have 2,000 amas from where your Eiv is, and that when did the Rabbanan say the entire city is like Dalet Amas? That's only if it's a city that has inhabitants as dwellers, as we learned explicitly in the Mishnah. That the Chum said to Rabbi Kiva's retort, they said, yes, Amasai. When did we say that you would only count from where the Eiv is, not from the city limits? That's Bizman She'im Badiyurin, as our Mishnah said, when there are no dwellers. So obviously we see that when it's Eir Chareva, when there are no inhabitants, that when you did not spend Shabbos and you only put your Eiv, that they would agree that you would only count from where your Eiv is and not from the city limits. However, Rabbi Elazar says, he argues, he says, no, Echad Shavas ve'echad Inyach, whether if you spend Shabbos there, whether even if you put your Eiv there in the Ir Chareva with no dwellers, Mahalach is Kula v'chutz l'apayim amah, you can go throughout the entire city, considered like Dalet Amas, and your 2,000 Amas only begins at the end of the city. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei, we learned in our Mishnah, Amalim Rabbi Kiva said to the Chacham, Don't you agree to me, Benoisin Esid Ruvi B'Ma'ar, when you place your Erev in the cave, that you only have from where your Erev is 2,000 Amos? So Amaloi, they responded to him, and this was the mission that we learned on Amad Alf. Yes, you're right. However, Amosai, when did we say this, that you only have it from where your Erev is and not from the end of the cave? Bisman Sheim B'Diurin, when there are no dwellers, we're talking about a city that has dwellers, and therefore you would not come from where you put your Erev, but rather from the city limits. But the inference is, from one thing we do see is that when there are no dwellers, that the Chacham agreed to Reb Meir that where you're going to come from, you're not going to be able to mehalach as kula. Rather, there it's obviously not the Kribba laws who wants to say it would apply even by Chareva. But we see that's not true by Yair Chareva when there's Eimba Diurin, that you would start counting your air from where you put it, not by the city limits. That seems to be not the Kribba laws. That the Gemara answers, what would Rabbi Elazar say? My aim but the urine. What does it mean that there's no dwellers? It means ain't a ru'uya ladira, that's not fit to have any dwelling. Because, as Rashi explains, it means that the walls have already crumbled. And then obviously it's very simple why you would not count the whole city as Dalet Amos, because there is no city over here. The city walls have crumbled, and therefore, of course, you would count where you put the Erev. But of course, if there was walls, it just would not be Diurin. Then it would be like Rabbi Elazar wants to say, that you would count from the city limits, even if you didn't spend Shabbos there and you only put the Erev there. Tashma Agenda, the Gemara tries to bring a proof, not like Rabbi Elazar. We learn that Brisa Shabbos be Erev. If someone spent Shabbos in the city, even if it's such a large city like a metropolis like Antochia, or he spent Shabbos b'ma'ar in a cave, even if it's so large like the cave of Tzidkiyo, the king of Judea, that it was a very large cave, and this was the cave that Tzidkiyo had used to escape from Yerushalayim, to get away from the Kazdim, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, v'tibok ha'ir, and he had to escape. So even if it's such a large cave, which had a large thing that he used as an escape plan, it doesn't make a difference how big it is. You could walk throughout the entire city and beyond it 2,000 amas, as long as that's where your shvisa was. However, the inference is, we see that Bryce is comparing the city to a cave, and that is mam or a chareva, just like a cave is someone that has no dwellers. Af'ir chareva. So therefore, the city obviously is talking about the parallel type of case, that there's no dwellers. And what we have to say when it says chareva, it means that it's destroyed from the dwellers, not from the walls, because if it meant that it was totally destroyed, that the walls were down, then we wouldn't say that you could be mahalach as kula, since you didn't spend Shabbos in any aver mechitzes, in the airspace of any walls, and therefore must be talking about that although there's walls, still was saying that you could walk throughout the entire area, even though it's ir chareva, meaning that there's no dwellers. And yet the Braisa over there says, v'shavas in, that yes, if you spend Shabbos in that airspace, then yes, you could consider the whole area Dalet Amos. Aval niach loy, but if you only put your Erev there, then regarding this Chareva, because obviously it's Chareva because we're comparing the Erev to the Ma'ara, which is Chareva, no one lives there, and yet in spite of that we say that you could go and consider the whole city Dalet Amos only if you spend Shabbos there. But if you put your Erev there, it sounds like it would not be like Dalet Amos, because Rosh should have said the bigger Chiddush of even putting your Erev there, and then obviously we start counting from where you put the Erev. Now Mani, who is the Tana of this Braisa that does not say it even by Hiniach, that it's only like Dalet Amos when you spend Shabbos there? So, Elam Rebbe Kiva, if you say that the Tana that Bryce is Rebbe Kiva, that he does not hold to the concept of Mahaniach at all, that to say that you could walk the whole thing, he always holds by any city, that if you put your Erev there, you only start from where your Erev is, then the question would be, why would he compare the Erev to Ma'ara, to say that it's talking about Dafka by an Erev Chareva, by a city that has no inhabitants, my Erev Chareva? Why would we say only a city that doesn't have inhabitants, as we see the fact that there's the corollary to the Ma'ara, which has no inhabitants, Afili Yeshivanami. Even if the city has inhabitants, according to Reb Kiva, you never say that you would count the whole city as Dalet Amos. You always start counting from where the Erev is. And therefore, obviously, the Tana of the Brisa is not Reb Kiva, because then it wouldn't have to be just by Chareva. It could even have been by a city that's Yeshiva that has inhabitants. So Rashi says, and don't think that you could say the reason why it spoke about Chareva, of no inhabitants, to tell you the other case of Shavas, when you actually spend Shabbos there, and to say that even though it's Chareva, but where you spend Shabbos there, then you could walk throughout the entire city, considered like Dalet Amos. To that Rashi says, why would you have to speak about a city then at all? You could even talk about a pile or a nook or a cranny or a crevice or something that was planted stalks that were then cut out, that was surrounded, as we learned in the first parak on Daf Tezvav Manav, then you could always walk throughout the entire area. It doesn't have to be just a city. So therefore, the fact that we spoke about a city and it's comparing it to Ma'ara, obviously it's saying that it's only by Chareva, where then if you spend Shabbos, then yes. But if you plot the Erev, then they're not. And that cannot be Rabbi Kiva, as we showed, because then it would be even by a settled city that you would not be able to count it as Dalet Amos when you were Haniyah Chesi Ruben. Say, Elalav Rabbanan, must be the town of the Braisa are like the opinion of the Rabbanan. And what do we hear from that? That by Chareva, when there are no inhabitants, then they agree. Because obviously, the fact why we spoke about Chareva was to infer this, that we're only saying it by Shavas and not by Hinech, as the Gemara says, the time of the Shabbos in. Oh, the reason why we can consider the whole entire city as Dalet Amos is because that's where you spend Shabbos. Avaniach Loi, but if you put your Erev there, then we would not consider it like Dalet Amos, and therefore we see Nalek Ribalaza, that it's only that the Chum say when you spend Shabbos there, then we consider it like Dalet Amos, but if it's Ir Chareva, and you only put your Erev there, then they would agree that it's not like Dalet Amos, Nalek Ribalaza. To which Gemara says, no. Loi Tema Ir Dumi De Ma'ara. Don't say that the reason why I said both cases was to say that the city is like the case of the Ma'ara, and that just like the Ma'ara has no dwellers, so too the city has no dwellers, and that's why you had this question that is obviously not Kabbalaza. Rather, Ela Ema Ma'ara Duma De'ir. Rather, say the other way around. We're saying we're comparing the cave to the case of the city, as the Gemara explains. Ma'ir Yeshiva, to the contrary, just like the city is talking about that there are inhabitants, Af Ma'ar Yeshiva, so to the case of the cave is talking about that there are inhabitants. And the chiddush that we're telling you is that even so, that it's only if you spend Shabbos there, but if you put your Erev in there, then it would not work. And that's because we're coming to tell you that this price is like Rabbi Kiva. As the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva hi, the Amar, Ein Leim Mokame Ruva, Elapai Mama, that says that whenever you put your Erev, you only have 2,000 Amas in every city, even the city that has inhabitants. When you spend Shabbos there, then he agrees that it's going to be considered like Dalet Amos, and therefore it's not a difficulty. We're trying to say that the case of the Ma'ara is like the city that has inhabitants, and only then, if you spend Shabbos there, then we'll consider it like Dalet Amos. But if you didn't spend Shabbos there, even though it has inhabitants, that's Rabbi Kiva's opinion that you'll always start counting from where the Erev is, and you won't consider the whole city like Dalet Amos. But then the Gemara asks, how could you say that? How can you say that the case of the cave is just like the case of the city, that it has inhabitants, but the case that it picks is like the cave of Tzidkiyo? Now, the case of Tzidkiyo has no dwellers over there because it was owned by the king and no one's living over there. Another pshat Rashi says is because today nobody lives there. So obviously the case that we're picking is a case of Chareva, that there are no inhabitants. So how can you interpret the Braisa as speaking about a case that it has inhabitants just like the case of the city? And then the Gemara answers, it's not difficult, because when we said Kema'ar Tzidkiyo, we meant it's like the cave of Tzidkiyo, but V'loi Kema'ar Tzidkiyo, but not totally like the cave of Tzidkiyo. As the Gemara explains, Kema'ar Tzidkiyo, when we meant to compare it to the cave, a case of Tzidkiyo, we didn't mean in totality. We meant in regards that it's good, that it's big, as we see from the Braisa, it was saying, even if you're in a city as large as Antochi or large as the cave of Tzidkiyo. But V'loi Kema'ar Tzidkiyo, we're comparing it totally to the case of the cave of Tzidkiyo. The Ilohasim Chareva, because whereas over there by the case of Tzidkiyo, you're right, there are no inhabitants, V'achi Yeshiva, but here the case that we're talking about, the Braisa, we're talking about that there were dwellers inside the cave, and therefore it's not difficult under Belaz's opinion, and his opinion stands that possibly that the Chum would allow it would not only be that if you spend Shabbos in the Ir Chareva, but even if you put your Erev in the Ir Chareva, you would mention, you would start your Chum from the end of the city limits. Now the Gemara ends with a story to illustrate this machlekes of our mission between the opinions of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan, where it is that you begin from where you put the Erev, or from the end of that area which is surrounded with mechitzas, do you begin your Erev? So, Mar Yehuda, Ashkechinu lebnei Mavrachta, Mar Yehuda saw by the people of the city Mavrachta, the komaisvi erevayu bebei knishna de be'agoyver, that they put their Erev inside the shul of be'agoyver. Now, that was a very large shul. And that shul was within the 2,000 amas of the Tchum of Mavrachta. And therefore, the people of the city were not concerned to put their Erev totally at the end of the shul, because they held like the Rabban of our Mishnah, that since it's within the Avar of the Mechitzas of the shul, so then you consider the whole shul like Dalet Amos, and then you begin your 2,000 amas beyond that. However, Mar Yehuda told those people, Gavu Beit Tvei, put the Erev deeper into the shul, so that you could have your Erev as far as it can be, and then from the Kiheche Delishter Ilachutvei, that you'll be able to go further, because you only begin start counting at 2,000 amas for wherever the Erev is. So since the whole shul is within 2,000 amas, get your money's worth, put it at the end of the shul, so therefore when you begin your Tchum, it'll start further in from the shul. So Amalei Rava said to Mar Yehuda, Palga, someone that argues, you're arguing on the Chacham of our Mishnah. Be'ervin by the halachas of Ervin, less the chash lahad b'kiva. There's nobody that's concerned to opinion of Reb Kiva that says you begin your tchum from where the Erev is placed. Rather, like the Rabban's opinion, that you go by, from the end of the mechitzas that surround that Erev, and therefore here by the shul, you don't have to put it further. Wherever you put in the shul is good, because you'll always begin from the end of the wall. As Rashi says, because the halacha by Erevin is always kedivri ha-mekel, and therefore we go like the lenient opinion of the Rabbanon, not like Reb Kiva, and therefore it doesn't make a difference where you put the Erev. Hanaloch Ketzim Avrin, we shall return to you, Perek Ketzim Avrin, the fifth Perek in Masechtas Avrin. Now we begin the sixth Perek in Masechtas Avrin, Perek Hadar. Now we transition back into Halachas of Eruv Chatzeres, about making an area that's a communal courtyard, that everyone has a portion that everyone can carry in the Shabbos, and will view it as a Rishus HaYachad. So the Mishnah begins. Hadar im ha'akim b'chatzar. If he lives in a courtyard together with a non-Jew, with an idol worshiper, with a non-Jew, or with someone that doesn't agree to the halachas of Erev, who does that mean? Rashi says that's a reference to Kutim. As the Gemara says in Perikol Ma'arvin Adaf Laman Alpha Mebeis, so although he's technically on some level not a non-Jew, but he doesn't agree to the concept of Erev, Hareza Oysulab, so these people make it forbidden for the person to be able to carry from his home to the courtyard until, as we're going to learn, that he rents from them their rishus, their domain that they have in the courtyard, to make it as if they have no, as if I'm renting it from you. You don't have the right of way now, and then I can go ahead and carry. We view it as my area. But up until then, I can't, because the guy cannot be part of the Eruv Chatzeres. He can't do that. Therefore, I have some type of conflicting interest over here. It's not only one rishus hayachad of my domain. So therefore, he makes it forbidden. You're not like carrying that chatzer on Shabbos. Blessed Ben Yaakov, he says, no, a non-Jew or a Kutu will not make it forbidden for the Jew to carry until there are at least two Jews that live in two different homes in that courtyard that are Eisen Zelzeh, that they make it forbidden one on the other. And that is, if let's say those two Jews are coming to make an Erev Chatzeres, we're the only two Jews, we want to make an Erev Chatzeres between them, then the non-Jew will make it forbidden. However, regarding one individual Jew that lives amongst the rest being non-Jews, then they don't make it forbidden for him, as the Gemara is going to explain the reason. Then it could carry into the Chatzar on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Gamliel says, and that is, Rav Gamliel held that we're going into a third category. Up until now we spoke about Akum, Kutim. Rav Gamliel is speaking about Tzedukim. Tzedukim are those people that don't have a halacha like a non-Jew, and they're also not like Kutim, who were on some level, they were geri arayu, say. In other words, they weren't true converts. They weren't complete converts because they only did it out of the fear of the lions that were consuming them. However, Tzeduki is really a full-fledged Jew. It's just that he went to different thoughts, to different ideas, and that is, he doesn't hold of Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral law, and therefore, in the sense, since he is really a full-fledged Jew, although he does not a practicing Jew, in the sense of that he's a kofer b'Torah, and he says that I don't believe in the oral law, I only believe in the written law. However, since he's really a Jew, he could be mevatel his rishos. He could do what only a Jew could do, to say that my rishos, I'm nullifying my right of way in the chatzar. And therefore, he doesn't have to have schiras. He doesn't have to do what's a process necessarily by someone that cannot be involved in the Eruv Chatzeres, of either joining in or being mevatel rishos, which they have to do a schiras that we have to actually rent from them. By tzeduki, you don't have to. And therefore, Rabbi Gamliel says, "Ma'isa b'tzeduki echad." There was a story with tzeduki, shahayidari manu b'mavi b'Yerushalayim, that he lived amongst us in our same mavi in Yerushalayim. And what he did was he was mevatel to us his rishos. But our father told us, go quickly and take out your vessels into the Mavi and take hold of that domain, of that rishos, because once Shabbos starts, you want to do it right away so that he won't retract and take back his rishos until he doesn't go ahead and take out his vessels into the Mavi, and then he'll be retaking his rishos, because right now he was mevatel. He said, I can't bring stuff out there. I have no right of way. So quickly do it before he goes and takes out stuff. And he's going to make it forbidden on you that Mavi. So what we hear from that halacha is that he doesn't treat him like a non-Jew, like an Akum. Because had he been like an Akum, the Tzeduki, then we would have had to rent from him. Then how would he wouldn't be able to retract once Shabbos starts. Because even if he would take out his vessels into the Mavi and Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference because he has the money, the rent money that we're paying him. Therefore, you're just coming into my property. So therefore, obviously he considers the Tzeduki not like an Akum. And therefore, we didn't have to actually rent from him. He was just Mevatel Rishus. That's why our father said, quickly go ahead and take hold of this Mavi, because since he nullified his property, if he goes out first and he brings out his stuff, he's retaking what he nullified. And that's because, again, he didn't have to do it a rental, because it was rental wouldn't help. And that's why you quickly do it beforehand. Yehuda said a different version of what Rav Gamliel said. of what the father had said. The father said, Ma'aruva asu tzarchichim b'mavi. He said, quickly go out and take care of your needs in the mavi, meaning from before Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, it won't help that bittul that Stuki did. And therefore, in a sense, he was trying to tell him, it won't work. So take care of what you have to do in the public domain, the mavi now, because on Shabbos, it's not going to work. Atchelo yoytzi b'yasar lechem, because until this person, that Stuki goes out and takes out his vessels, in other words, maybe he's going to go ahead and take out his vessels, and he's going to make it forbidden in you. And that is Rabbi Yehuda held, that even if the people of the mavi will go take a hold of the mavi, yes, it's ours, he was malat l'zvashus, it's not going to help, because he could retract even once you go ahead and take a hold of it, and therefore, since he's going to be undoing his bittul of drishus, it's going to come out that it's not a good eruv chatzeris or shetufim avayis, and therefore, his version was saying, basically, since he could undo his bittul, it's not going to help, and therefore, take care of what you have to do before Shabbos, because once Shabbos comes, it's not going to help anyway.